Hello, I'm Ben and I'm here with Marina. Hola, Marina, ¿qué tal?
Muy bien, ¿y tú?
Very good, thank you. Phenomenal, in fact. And we are going to be talking about now how to sound really Spanish in 10 words or less. Well, not exactly 10 words, but we've picked out a few words and phrases that if you slip them into your Spanish conversation, you'll realize yourself that you're actually sounding like Spanish people do. Isn't that right?
That's completely right.
Now, these are things that maybe after I'd been learning Spanish myself here in Spain for a few months, I started to pick up a lot in Spanish people's conversations. And I started slowly but surely myself working them into the conversations I was having with Spanish people. And the effect was, for me, very liberating because it felt like, wow, I'm actually talking like the Spanish do. And that's what we really hope you're going to be able to do as well. And just by us going through these 10 phrases now, I'm sure next time you're listening to Spanish people, you'll recognize them even more.
And
And
you will start using them as well.
that's what we hope. The thing is, often it sounds very funny, like, I tell you what, I'm going to jump to number two on the list and then we'll come back to number one because this for me was the classic example. There's a Spanish phrase, pues nada. Okay, Marina, you can give us the pronunciation.
Pues nada.
Okay, just like that. Pues nada, which I used to hear all the time and I thought, God, when I can start saying that, I'm going to sound so Spanish. But I just didn't have the guts to start using it for ages because I thought, oh, I'm English, it's going to sound really weird if I say it. But when I did, wow, did it feel good. And nobody noticed. I thought everyone would be giving me weird looks. What's he doing using our most Spanish phrases? But people just kind of reacted a bit more like, oh, wow, Ben speaks pretty good Spanish. So we'll carry on with number two, pues nada. It means just kind of, well, anyway.
It's just a way of changing the conversation to another subject, really, or just saying goodbye to someone, stopping the conversation and say, pues nada, hasta luego,
Yep,
for
exactly.
example.
Yep. And you'll hear Spanish people saying it all the time. And when you start adding it onto the end of your little sentences, when you're kind of the same time in English as you'd say, well, okay then, anyway, it feels great. You'll have heard me say pues nada a lot if you listen to our podcast. It's something that I've really, a Spanishism that I've really taken to. So let's jump back to number one because this really has to be the if you want to use one word a lot to sound really Spanish, it is
Vale.
vale. What does it mean?
This one is very easy to use. It's less complicated than pues nada and means okay.
Yeah.
And you can use it with slightly different meanings as well. Like, for example, if someone is going on about something on and on, you can say, vale, like, stop it now.
Yeah, it's kind of a way of getting someone to shut up. You go, vale, vale,
Yeah,
vale.
depending in the
Okay.
intonation
It's
as
like,
well.
okay, I get the message. Yeah. So, vale is your one-stop answer to sounding a bit more Spanish. You hear it all the time. Vale, vale. Okay, let's jump to number three. Now, we did things in a funny order because we started with pues nada at number two. Number three, again, these are in no particular order. It's not like a top 10. But number three on the little PDF that you have got to go along with this audio, we've put así que nada. What's that all about, Marina?
It's very colloquial as well. It's very similar to pues nada, and it's again a way of like finishing a conversation and taking on another one, or just giving it an end and go separate ways.
Yeah, exactly. You might see two people chatting in the street and they've been talking about, I don't know, the party they went to last week or the football. And the conversation's starting to wind down and one of them says, Así que nada.
Bueno, me marcho.
Yeah, me marcho, I'm off. That's another one we could add to the list there straight away. Me marcho, así que nada. You know, but, well, anyway, see you soon. There's not a great difference between that and pues nada.
They are more or less the same. They can be used equivalently.
Well, that's the point, you see. Mix them up a bit and you get away from the constant pues nada, pues nada, pues nada, sounding even more Spanish.
And like Ben.
And like me, yeah, I do favour the pues nada approach. But I do try and slip in the así que nada, because I do, it's something I like as well very much. Okay, moving on to, sorry, toss that sheet of paper aside, and moving on to the next page, number four.
We have a group of three, which are very useful, I think. I'm very much used by the Spaniards, which are starting by cutre.
Mm-hmm.
What's cutre, Ben?
Cutre is dirty, seedy, filthy, pretty down at heel. It's just an adjective with so much power and meaning.
Descuidado could be as well.
It's kind of unkempt, not looked after.
Yeah.
So, for example, you'll often hear people talking about un bar cutre.
Means a bar that hasn't been renovated for 40 years, and it doesn't matter, it's like that, it's the character of the bar.
Well, it's that typical Spanish bar where there's serviettes and prawn heads all over the floor, which is just a Spanish habit you have to get used to. It's the kind of Spanish bar I love, because it's the most authentic thing you'll ever find. But often people say that would be un bar cutre.
Yeah, that's what we call a cutre bar, yeah. And, for example, you can do things in a cutre way. Like, for example, Ben often lays the table and always misses to put the glass of water. Yeah. And I would say, no seas cutre, Ben.
Yeah, qué cutre eres, Ben. And I go, look, I'm English. I'm not so obsessed with table laying, because the Spanish are quite obsessed with table laying, and they will, it's got to have the glass of water, the serviettes, everything's got to be there before Marina sits down to lunch. Otherwise, bronca, trouble. And she says, ay, ven, que cutre eres, a bit of a sloppy or slobby, by not laying the table properly. So, moving on from my unfortunate table-laying habits to cursi.
Cursi, yeah. Cursi is, I don't know if the translations that we found in English are exact in meaning to cursi. Cursi is called to someone that is always very, has like matching shoes with matching bag, and likes the pink very much, and dresses their children all the same with
ribbons and bows and hair.
That could be it. It's more used with girls, really, than it's, with boys.
It's kind of a cross between affected, pretentious, kitsch. But also you do hear it, as well as talking about clothing and so on, it's also used a lot for housing. I mean, interior design.
Decorations, could
so
be as well.
If your friend's just redone their house with the most over-the-top carpet and over-the-top curtains and just ugh, so kitsch, and so it just gives you that feeling of like, ugh, when you see it, I'd never do that in my house, then it's like, ay, qué cursi.
Yeah.
For example. And then finally, we've got, I don't know if this is my favorite. This, or I think cutre probably
cutre,
is my favorite.
Cutre is a very useful one.
Yeah.
You get to use it lots in Spain, I would say. Yeah.
But the last one then in this little group of three is hortera.
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 Very good.
Now, this is just tacky. So the example that we gave on the PDF that goes with this little audio mini podcast was, you buy someone's bought a bright apple green mini, and for me and Marina, apologies to any bright green apple.
I would like it actually, but
Marina's a bit tacky.
I am a bit tacky.
That for us would be very hortera.
Yeah. It has to do lots with clothes and a style in general. It could be your house again. It could be your car, but it's a style. It's a taste that you find nearly impossible to understand.
We had a guy once who helped us do some building work on a flat that we owned, and he was the kind of Spaniard that you just don't imagine exists anymore, because he had a button-up shirt that he only buttoned the first two buttons up to reveal his big hairy chest, and a big gold medallion in the middle, and a terribly tacky moustache.
That's the definition of hortera. Yeah,
exactly. Okay, moving on. Excuse the rustle of paper as we switch on to number seven. majo.
Majo, yes.
I love this one.
Yeah, this is a very useful one. It's an endearment.
A term of endearment. Yeah.
Could be like hola majo, or even in a shop sometimes even someone that doesn't know you can tell you qué quieres majo.
Ah, now that reminds me, I'm going to add another one in here quickly. Often I used to go down to the little shop below our house where they just sell bread, milk, a few bits of fruit, tiny little shop. That, you know, the kind of thing you can't live without when you just need one or two tiny things for the kitchen. And whenever I went in, there was a girl in there who was, a little bit younger than me and quite pretty. And she always used to say, hola, cielo. And I was like, Marina, why is the girl downstairs calling me cielo? It seems a bit too friendly to me.
and then her mother call us cielo as well every time we go in.
Well, her mother's like 60 plus and a bit wrinkly.
No, 60s. So. She's very nice lady. Yeah, she's really, really nice.
Kind of, it was disappointing after the pretty young daughter was calling
you
me.
You had the strange ideas in your mind.
Yellow. Which is like hello sky, which sounds very odd in English, but yeah.
Yeah, it's endearment again, a term of endearment.
But anyway, obviously it was a family thing with the shopkeepers. Mm. But similar is hola majo.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes your father says it to me, I think, sometimes, you know, very friendlily. Hola, majo, ¿qué tal? Also, you can use it to say how fantastic someone is. ¿Qué majo es Sonia?
¿Qué maja es Sonia?
Maja.
Of course, yeah. It's feminine.
Oh, es más maja este chico.
Yeah,
he's such a nice guy.
Yeah.
But beware, because if majo is addressed to you in the middle of an argument, it is not meant nicely.
Oye, majo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mira, majo. Cállate, yeah. Mm-hmm. Look, mate, shut up for once, you know. So it can, depending on the tone of voice and the context, it can have its downside as well.
Yeah, but it's mainly positive most of the times, yeah.
Okay. Tia, tío, number 8 in our list. Aunt and uncle. Now, what's going on when you're talking to your mother and your sister and you're saying, venga, tía?
Yeah, it's not really something I would use with my mother unless I'm joking with her. It could be, but
I've heard it.
Only in a joking situation.
Okay.
Whereas I would use it with my friends or with my sister all the time, like, tía.
Give us an example sentence.
Marta, tía, no te lleves todas las flores. Déjame unas pocas para mí.
Yeah, like, oye, Marta, dear, love, mate, whatever, sister, you know, stop taking all the flowers, leave some for me. That's an interesting example.
I don't know, it was a funny one. But it's used...
that's the way it goes, kind of, oye, tía.
Yeah, it can be used. This is a bit of a negative situation because I'm kind of... telling off my sister. It could be used with your friends as a nice way of calling them. Hola tía, ¿cuánto tiempo sin verte?
Yeah, like, all right, mate, how's it going?
Yeah.
Hola tío, ¿qué tal?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And finally, it can also be used, imagine you're on the street and you see some weird bloke hanging around your car. You can say, oye, que no sé qué hace este tío ahí. Mm-hmm. Me da mala pinta. You know, like, I don't know what that guy over there is doing, but it's not your uncle.
No.
Could be if you've got a weird uncle, but it's usually just a way of saying that guy over there, that bloke over there. Okay, number 9. This is just useful whenever you want to go. I can't believe it.
Madre mía.
Madre mía, qué horror, for example.
It's unbelievable, something that surprises you, yeah.
Yeah, there's not a lot to say about that, but... don't be afraid to use it. Almost sounds Italian. I don't know why. Oh, that's Mamma Mia,
Mamma
isn't it?
Mia.
Mamma Mia.
It's the same.
Exactly.
It's the same.
Spanish version. Right then, moving on to number 10. We have ¿Qué tal? Looks pretty innocent, but the key to sounding really, really, really Spanish is all in the answer. Isn't that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
apart
let's have,
from the plain muy bien y tú.
Muy bien y tú. Gracias, or whatever, you know. We've added a few more examples, a few favourites of our own, so...
I like this one, because Ben once came... he had been in the metro, in the subway in Madrid, and he came asking me what did it mean if someone said, así, así.
Okay, this was because I remember it clearly now. I was in a cutre bar in the center of Madrid, having a tea or coffee or something like that. This was probably eight years ago. Probably the first or second year I was learning Spanish. And listening. This is how I learned a lot of Spanish, just keeping my ears open all the time. You can't recommend it enough. And then asking questions later about what you've heard and just trying it out yourself. So I went to Marina and said, yeah, I was in this bar and this old woman walked in and the barman said, hola, maja, ¿qué tal? And she said, bueno, así, así. You've got to have the bueno.
I thought it had been in the metro. I couldn't remember.
No, yeah,
you often ask me things that you had heard in the metro as well. So this means not well, not bad, really.
So-so.
So-so.
But it just sounds great. Yeah. Bueno, así, bueno,
así. Así, así.
On the other hand, you could be feeling fantastic, in which case you might say...
Fenomenal.
Yep.
Or genial.
Genial. Ah, that's a good one, yeah. Mm. ¿Qué tal? Genial. Todo muy bien, mm-hmm. you could say as well. Is that right? Todo muy bien.
Fatal.
Fatal is a great one. Fatal, tía. There we go. It's combining a couple. ¿Qué tal, tía? Fatal, tía. Just means things couldn't possibly be worse, really. Now, another one we've got on the list, on the printout, is estupendamente.
Estupendamente.
Okay, and finally...
It's a very long one, actually.
You're probably far more likely to say fenomenal.
Fenomenal or genial. Yeah. As shorter and easier and as good as estupendamente.
Yeah. And finally, well, we've written down a bit of an example of what happens when you really want to let them know how you feel. So, I don't know, you say, ¿qué tal? Bueno, es que he tenido un día de estos que dices es que ya no puedo más. Es que estoy hasta los... No sé,
las narices.
Hasta las narices. Así que nada, fatal. ¿Y tú qué tal? So, yeah, you could really let yourself get carried away.
Yeah.
And as we said...
If you really had a bad day.
When something like that comes out spontaneously, then...
Run.
No.
The other person, I mean.
Yeah, yeah. If it comes from you spontaneously, then you've got Spanish nailed.
Ah, okay.
Okay, so, you know, people are just going to go, what, is this guy actually Spanish? You know, sounds so good. Finally, we added a bonus, a number 11, which is goodbye. Now this, well, let's have it from Marina first.
Hasta luego.
Hasta luego.
Ben used to, because people say that very quickly in Spain, and sometimes some of the sounds are actually missing.
So it can sound like, luego.
And Ben used to say something that was similar to huevo, egg. Huevo, huevo.
Yeah, yeah. I
which
got it wrong.
Very funny.
For quite a few years, and every time I tried to say goodbye like a Spanish person, I was going,
huevo.
Ta huevo, which is like, the egg, or something like that. Marina would fall about laughing. And so then I kind of readjusted my...
Hasta luego.
Hasta luego.
The hasta is not pronounced completely. Hasta luego.
Sta. Comes out a bit like sta. Hasta luego. So you practice your hasta luego, and that's another pretty good way of sounding incredibly Spanish.
You can pronounce the whole thing and you will sound very well as well. Hasta luego.
Yeah. Don't worry too much.
No.
But just keep your ears out. This is all about, for me, and I hope for you, it was all about really enjoying listening to Spanish people speak and picking out. You know, we've got 10 or 11 examples here, but there's probably an awful lot more. Obviously, in the other main real Spanish phrase book that you've got as part of this pack, you'll find lots of other examples of Spanish phrases. But these are just the little things, the little verbal crutches.
The ones used in everyday life, really, when you meet people.
Yes. There's endless ones out there. And don't be afraid to use your favourites, because you'll find you enjoy Spanish so much more and sound really, really Spanish. Okay, well, that's it for this little extra piece of audio, which in the end's run to 20 minutes, because we've enjoyed ourselves so much. I hope you have. As usual, all we can say is come over to notesinspanish.com. This is the kind of thing we try and include in our newsletters, so if you haven't signed up for that yet, then do via the front page of notesinspanish.com. And don't forget, in our forum, at notesfromspain.com. We are always chatting about the fun little bits of Spanish that we come across and are there to answer any questions you might have about this or anything else related to Spanish. Okay, ready? Hasta luego.
Hasta luego.